If you prefer, if you brought your Bible, open up to 1 Samuel, the first chapter. It's also the appointed Old Testament reading this morning is our text. And as I said earlier, Hannah is a palindrome. You can say her name, read it front and back the exact same. But her palindrome is in my opinion, a perfectly purposeful palindrome for us. Because Hannah's whole story is about hope and the now, now and the hope. And we are a people of hope who live in the now. And a people who are in the now but have hope. And just as we can read her story front to back, you know, our lives are lived in both directions. According to St. Paul, right, what do? We press on towards the goal. We run our race till we get to the end. But because we know the end, we can let that be our beginning as well as we run our race, right? Front to back, back to front. Now, Hannah was unable to have a baby. In the world in which Hannah lived, this was either the mother's fault or the fury of God, the Heavenly Father. Right? This was either a girl problem or a God punishment, only one of the two. And Hannah in her life is she's tormented by her husband's other wife. She's questioned by her husband. She's even falsely accused by the church. But her now is one of horror and pain. A broken heart has Hannah. Not only a broken heart, but a bitter and barren future if things don't change. If God doesn't deliver her from the situation, her now is not a now she wants. And so she goes to the only hope she has. And pours herself out to God. So that's the background of Hannah's story. Will you pray with me? Almighty God, send us your Spirit that we might live life forward, front to back. And knowing what awaits us, what we have received in you, we might live our lives back to front. Make us a people of hope now. And in the now, people of hope. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. Maybe you have on occasion had a now like Hannah's. And if you've had a now like Hannah's, maybe you find yourself tormented by people you're associated with, questioned by family, even accused by the faith community. Maybe you find yourself on occasion in this situation coming to God's house barren. Do you know what it is to be pregnant with fears or frustrations? Do you know what it is to carry anger or animosity or just anguish? Do you know what it is to be great with grief in the heart or guilt in the soul? Have you ever found yourself at a place where you cannot conceive of how God can possibly deliver you from your now? Have you ever found yourself even wary of coming to God's house in that situation because of someone else's reaction. If you do, you can relate to Hannah. And even if it's only on a smaller scale, all of us at some point or another have been in this kind of now. The kind of now where we cannot find a way to extricate ourselves from the situation, and the only hope we have is from on high. Now, as Hannah goes to pour herself out to God, her husband asks her, and you heard the question read, right? Sweetheart, cheer up. You got me. Am I not greater to you than 10 sons? Now, it's a good thing, gentlemen, that was a rhetorical question, is it not? Because had he required an answer, what would have Hannah said? Of course not, you old fool. I want a baby. I need a child. I need God. And not only does Hannah get it from her home, she gets it from the house of the Lord. Eli, the priest, what does he say? Why are you so drunk this early in the morning? Put away your wine. It's a different kind of whining that Hannah is going through, is it not? And maybe you can put yourself in her position. Maybe there are times you're hoping no one kind of sees your emotion and what you're going through. You're afraid they'll ask you a question that you really don't want to answer, at least not honestly. We're Lutherans. Maybe you're not worried about being told to have your wine put away. Maybe it's your beer. We're Californians. Maybe you're concerned someone's going to ask you what you're smoking. But you can put yourself in Hannah's position, right? You can know that, you know what, there are times if I really show what's really going on in here, it might not be well received. If I really let everyone in on what's going on in me, I might be on the outs. But all I can do is pour out my heart to God. Hannah has a hope in the now. When your now is filled with bitterness and pain, when it's great with misery and sorrow, when you cannot see your way out of it, pour yourself out to God, the author of hope. Now I want to take a quick aside here. Maybe you've been in that position, maybe you are in that position, maybe you'll be in that position, and maybe you can relate to that position, but I want to take a different side over here for a moment. It's not really what I want to talk about today, but this text does have some instructiveness for us about finding people in that position. When there is someone in that condition whose now is so fraught with pain, are we going to be the people like Eli who just jumped to a conclusion that we had no right to jump to begin with? Are we going to be the kind of people who say, it's all your fault? Stiff upper lip. Get a grip. When all you can see is the emotion and you don't know the situation, what and how are we going to respond? I'll leave that out there for you to think about, maybe to repent about if need be this Thanksgiving season, but there's something instructive for us about the way the church treats Hannah in this text, and maybe the way at times we have treated others, part of the community or not part of the community. Back to the story. So Hannah conceives. God hears her cry. God provides a child through her husband, and her. And the young boy is given back to the one who Hannah believes gave him. Hannah brings her boy back to the church later on to grow up in the system. He'll be trained in the priestly world. That young man will become a prophet. He'll actually kind of be a precursor to the king, so to speak. Great ruler in Israel, and he will eventually anoint Israel's first king, Saul, and its greatest king, David. And she brings him at a time when not only is God providing for her, but God is providing for all. Israel is in desperate situations in these days. Eli, the old priest, he's kind of worn, and he's a little bit witless. You can read the rest of the story. And his sons, the ones who are bound to inherit the pulpit, they are wicked and they are wanton. And it's in that situation that God delivers not only Hannah, but through the child she delivers, he delivers his people. Hannah in the now needs hope. Hope and the now is the beginning of her story. Her story ends with now and the hope. And doesn't ours work the same? Not because of this child, but because of God's own son. God gives Hannah a son to bless Israel. God gives his own son to bless all. He too a priest, he too a prophet, he the greatest and truest king. In Jesus Christ, we are delivered of all the now hurts, of all the now sorrows, of all that pains you and haunts you now, you are delivered in him. Of all that the accuser might bring in front of you, of all that the mirror might speak back to you, in him you are delivered from the now of those moments. And now you are an agent of hope. Now we are agents of hope. Hannah became an agent of hope, returned her child to the Lord. What do we return? All of it, right? You've returned your children to the Lord when you brought them to baptism, right? When you brought your child to baptism, you said, your truest parent is God. He owns you. He created you. He made you his. And in the waters of baptism, he names you his once again. You give yourself to the Lord. Even as Paul talks about the early church, first they gave themselves to the Lord. Then after themselves, their possessions, their personal talents, time. As we return to the Lord, that which he has first blessed us, our gifts, our abilities, our moments, our monies, as we return things back to God that he first gave us, we are becoming agents of hope in the now. Because you see, what happened in Hannah's world was Israel needed to connect to God and commune to God. And the church of the day had dropped the ball. And a gift of a son, a child, Samuel, started to change things in Israel. We kind of live in a world in which at times our leaders, be they in the church or in the state, be they congregational or district or synodical, be they city or state or federal, we at times live in a world in which our leaders might be worn, and on occasion even witless. We live in a world that at times is full of wantonness and wickedness. We live in a now that isn't the now that anyone really wants. But we have a hope that tells us how the now ends. And because we know how that now ends in He who is hope, it begins right now. As through us, others can connect to God and begin to commune with Him as we give ourselves to Him. I kind of think this is the wow reality of our text. Wow is another palindrome. That we can help others start to have on their radar another palindrome, a connection to God and communion with God through the one God has given His own Son to bring hope to the now, and in the now to be hope. Let's pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, for the times that we have jumped to conclusions about the condition of others, forgive us. For the times we've been more willing to speak and tell than to sit and listen, forgive us. For the times, Lord, where we have nowhere to turn, where we might even be afraid to say what's going on, move us to pour ourselves out to You. And then, Lord, having received the fullness of Your mercy and grace in Christ, move us to pour ourselves out for others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.